I know I shouldn't go back, but I can't stop thinking about them. You know the relationship was destroying your peace. You know the promises did not lead to change. You know that if you returned, you would probably end up right back in the same cycle. And yet, the person you want comfort from more than anyone is still the same person who is causing you this pain. This can happen after an affair, but it's not exclusive to infidelity either. It can happen in any relationship where someone repeatedly hurts you, pulls you close, pushes you away, apologizes, promises change, gives you hope, and then just returns to the same behavior. People often refer to this as a trauma bond. I'm less intrigued in arguing over the details of the perfect label than I am in helping you understand the actual pattern. Because when you understand what's actually happening, your feelings become a lot less confusing around it. And the first thing to understand is that it is normal for people in relationships to co-regulate. Your partner becomes someone that you naturally turn to for comfort, reassurance, familiarity, connection, relief from loneliness. Their presence helps you just settle. Your nervous system, your mind, your body just feel at peace around them. You get used to talking to them, hearing from them, sharing texts with them, sleeping next to them, telling them about your day, planning things in the future with them. None of that's unhealthy. That's how relationships are supposed to function. The problem begins when the person who has traditionally been this source of peace for you becomes the source of your pain as well. Because now your mind is caught in this contradiction where they represent both pain and comfort. When you're away from them, you feel lonely, anxious, abandoned, or overwhelmed, and you miss that familiarity, you miss that comfort. So you move closer. Then, once you're close again, you remember the betrayal. You remember the lies, the broken promises, the disrespect, the anxiety, and the fact that you actually can't relax around them because they're not safe. And so you pull away. But then once you create distance, that loneliness and separation pain returns, and you start craving the same person all over again. And this creates this yo-yo effect. And I think one of the most helpful ways to understand what's going on is to separate the pain of being close from the pain of being apart. They're not the same kinds of pain. The pain of being close is the pain of betrayal and the fact that they've just not prioritized you. It's the pain of remembering what they did, wondering whether they're still lying, questioning whether you can trust anything they say, and realizing that the person next to you probably really isn't good for you. The pain of being apart is often the pain of loneliness, withdrawal, lack of familiarity, navigating new things on your own, loss of routine, and not yet knowing how to meet the needs that the relationship used to meet for you. And it's important to separate those two out because they're very different kinds of pain. And if you, in your mind, view them as the same, then going toward them or going away from them feel logical enough in the moment because you're just trying to get relief from this one pain that's been blurred together in your mind. But if you separate them out, you can begin to build a life and strategies that actually help address both of them. Because the relief that you get is always temporary from going back to them. And it's also helpful to recognize that the good feeling that you get from going back to them most of the time is just relief. It's immediate, but it's not stable, and it's not actual healing. It's not real peace. It's more like a numbing. And so let's start to connect the pieces here. What can you actually do practically once you understand what's really going on to make some progress here? The first thing is when you feel that urge to reach back out to them or to go back towards them, it can be helpful to remind yourself of what they did. And this is what a lot of people do. You know, when you're lonely, your mind can start to edit the relationship in your mind. You start to remember just the good moments. And by reminding yourself of the bad also, it can really help to stabilize and remind yourself of why you actually are away from them. So you can remind yourself of the lies, the repeated choices, the broken promises. And that can be helpful. But if that's all that you do, you'll probably get stuck. Because it's a very exhausting strategy to just keep yourself mad at them long enough to make the right choices. Anger definitely does help you create distance, especially initially. But anger can't be your entire recovery strategy. The much more useful next step, after reminding yourself of what they did, just very briefly, is to address what you're actually needing in that moment. Are you lonely? Do you want reassurance? Do you want comfort? Do you miss physical closeness? Do you want someone to talk to? Do you miss the routine? Are you bored? Are you craving the feeling of being chosen? Once you slow down enough to just ask yourself some of these questions, like, what am I actually missing specifically from this relationship? You can begin finding other ways to meet those needs. And what you don't want to do is try to immediately replace that relationship with another equally intense relationship. That's just difficult to do. And plus, you might need some time and space to heal. It also doesn't mean that you need to go out and create a brand new social life to replace it. What I honestly recommend is just take inventory of the people who already exist within your social life. It could be a sibling that you call more often, or an old friend that you've drifted away from, or a coworker that you don't really know that well, but you enjoy being around, or a classmate, or a neighbor, or a family member, or even an online community or a religious community where you can just have some regular human connection. People often dismiss these relationships because they're not as deep or emotionally satisfying as the romantic relationship was. But the connection does not have to be perfect or satisfy all of your needs for it to be useful. A short conversation with a friend will not feel the same as talking to your ex. Spending time with coworkers won't satisfy every emotional need. Texting a sibling will not provide the same rush as seeing the person you're attached to, I sure hope. But that doesn't mean that these forms of connection are worthless. The goal is not to perfectly replace your ex in one afternoon. The goal is to meet those underlying needs that were met through the relationship with other people. Because every time you meet one of those needs somewhere safer, that emotional monopoly that your ex has over you gets a little bit weaker. If being without your ex exposes how isolated you are, then your energy needs to go to rebuilding your life rather than continuing this yo-yo pattern with them, which is only, by the way, making you more lonely in the long term. This is one concrete way of creating new sources of meaning, structure, and identity in your life. Because when one person is your partner, best friend, reassurance, social outlet, and your entire emotional world, losing them does not just feel like losing one relationship. It feels like losing your whole life. Of course, you're going to have that urge to just go back to them and to put up with all of the stuff they put you through, even if you know that it's not good for you long term. Now, for some of you watching this, you're going to say, okay, I understand that. And here's the problem, though. I often do that, and I'm starting to rebuild my life, and then they actually reach back out to me. What in the world am I supposed to do then? Because what if they reach out, say that they miss you? What if they start to become even nicer the more that you start pulling away? Or they start to be more jealous than they were before? They may start talking about change and suggest different ways that they're growing as a person, hint at a possible future with you, or give you just enough attention to keep that possibility alive. And because you still love them and you still have feelings toward them, every single time they do that feels really significant. And you are tempted to think, maybe this is the time that they'll finally understand. Maybe losing me is waking them up. But I want to be really clear that the majority of the time, their pattern, which might look like mixed signals, is actually very consistent. They just want to know that you're still available. They want the reassurance of being wanted by you. They want access to your attention, emotional support, or even forgiveness. And oftentimes in these types of situations I've described, they do not want the full responsibility of being a partner who shows up in the way that partners should, but they also just don't want to fully lose you. So they give you exactly enough to keep you at the edge of their life. They don't fully choose you, but they don't release you either. And there may be some feelings of care, there might be some feelings of missing you, there might be some genuine emotion, but there's absolutely no willingness to put in the effort to change in the ways that you need. And so if they come back, they apologize, they start to take some responsibility, they say they finally understand all the things that they've done, you're allowed to consider it. People can change. Relationships can sometimes be rebuilt after infidelity, deception, and serious harm. But if they've done this thing where they have kept you for so long, right on the edges of their life, where they don't put in that much effort, they keep giving you breadcrumbs, what you don't want to do is if they come back and put on a whole display of how they're finally willing to put in the effort, you cannot just resume the relationship where it was. They don't get the same access to you simply because they made a new promise, especially when making promises and failing to keep them were part of the previous pattern that led you to eventually leave in the first place. If the relationship's ever going to be reconsidered, the healthiest way to do it is it has to start over completely from scratch. So that looks like not returning to old levels of emotional trust, physical intimacy, commitment, or shared living arrangements. You slow everything down intentionally and watch what happens. And you're looking for if their actions have genuinely changed or if it's just their language. Are they actually keeping their promises this time in both big and small ways? Or was that just a big display to try to keep you in their life, again, right on that edge? Are they truly building a new relationship, or do they just want to get that access to you again? And someone who genuinely wants repair and who genuinely understands that they need to make massive changes to their own life will understand why rebuilding takes time and will understand why you want to take things slow. And so getting back to the main point, the overarching goal here isn't to convince yourself that this relationship never mattered or that there was nothing good in it. The main goal here is to stop treating the person who repeatedly caused you pain as the only source of relief from it. That's why I started with the importance of separating out the needs that were met from the relationship and the pain from losing those from the pain that they directly caused you. And as you rebuild connection elsewhere and you meet your needs in safer ways and you restore other parts of your life and you stop allowing mixed signals to determine what you do next, that attachment, that trauma bond, if you want to call it that, will start to loosen.